Welcome to this podcast.
Water Polo Expert Talk. Get the insights.
Hello and welcome to the next episode of the Water Polo Expert Talk podcast. Today I welcome again Tony Azevedo in my podcast, and we talked about his view on the Final 8 this year and all about this virtual reality stuff he's doing at the 6/8 Water Polo Academy in the US today. So I hope you enjoyed the talk as well as we did, and let's turn in.
Yeah, so let's go. Dive into the topics. So how are you? So where we? How is the academy is going?
It's great. You know, we are full for summer, so we have kids coming from all over. We actually have 7 states represented. We have a Hungarian, a Spaniard who's here, and we just finished our last showcase, which was super exciting because we introduced.
Yeah, so it's in Utah or where is it?
Yes, it was
so
in Utah.
Where was the last showcase?
It was in St. George, Utah. And what we did was we do as we always do, you know, split the kids up evenly based on their rankings. Then we came up with a fantasy league, and we had a draft, and all the kids were playing, and we saw their value through our analytics and stats. And it was really exciting. You know, all the college coaches asked, and we had like 6 kids sign with schools.
Cool. Yeah, so I really get the also the feedback from Mietze based on his experiences with the people calling him all across the US at the moment. Somewhere or somebody from Hawaii is flying in somewhere. So yeah. It's really a booster at the moment. Yeah, so basically the key or the initial idea was really to have a next episode on the podcast, or a short discussion at least, about all the, let's say, new technology stuff you're using at the moment. Yeah, so the VR stuff and so on. So this was the one I said, okay, maybe we have to talk again. So this is really exciting, because I think you are the first one using this one in this water polo area, right?
That's right. So essentially with the VR, if you think about it, it's just natural in our sport, and why places in Europe are more advanced than elsewhere is because the more you see water polo, the smarter you are, the easier it comes to you, right? Every day a player here plays basketball and watches the NBA on, you know, 3 games a week. So by the time they're 18 years old, they know mostly everything about basketball, and then you fix some fundamentals and stuff. In water polo, we don't have that. And so What if you're a kid who started three years, you've only been playing for 2 years? How are you going to catch up to the kids who've been playing for 8 years, right? And physically, It's just not possible to catch up and play that many games and put yourself in that scenario. So what we've created in the VR, and what they're finding with NFL quarterbacks, what they're finding with baseball players and golfers even, is when you put on those goggles, it puts you in those scenarios. And you go over and over, and within a span of 10 minutes, you can teach yourself exactly where you should have been looking, where you should have moved, what should have happened, like you spent 3 hours of training, right?
So okay. Yeah, so and this means that you also cooperate with people from other sports. Yeah, so you mentioned the NFL of quarterback players and so on. So based on their experience in their area of sports, so there's a real communication, cooperation between the sports then, in this case for the water polo stuff.
That's right. Well, it's not just the sports, it's also the medical world. So one of the biggest ways they've gone in is teaching doctors how to do certain surgeries or certain certain things first in the VR before, so that instead of training for, you know, months at a time, they can sit there and do everything and see it all firsthand. And I've had kids here, and it's funny because a lot of the kids we get are outside of California, so their IQ is, their water polo IQ is not the highest. You know, they came from Oregon or they came from California. So some of these simple things is tough for them. But once I get him in the VR and I ask him, oh, I said, be honest with me, like, same in the water. If you don't think you're getting out, like, let's talk about it. If you don't like it, like, don't do it. I want to know. Every single one finishes and goes, that was amazing. I learned so much. I can't believe I was there. And then they watch themselves now. We can also film them. And they go, oh, my God, I look terrible. And I'm like, I've been telling you that the whole time. Now you get to see how terrible you look.
Yeah, so it's a beneficial situation for both parties in this case, yeah, for you as a coach and also for the player saying, okay, maybe the coach is right and I have to go left way and not right way.
Right, that's right. And it is something fun. You know? I think in our sport, we have to think forward, right? These kids, they're getting more technologically savvy. They're on iPad all day. They're on phones. They're using VR on their own. Well, why don't we adapt? And why don't we create, a VR water polo program, which we've created? Why don't we create more analytics so that these kids can start tracking their stats and using numbers to help them get to the next level? Because you know what? Water polo in the 80s is not water polo in 2021, and it's not going to be in the next 10 years. we got to think ahead.
Yeah. So, and this sounds like that you are really developed this for your academy then from the very beginning, very start. Yeah. So, maybe you can tell us a little bit about the process of developing the VR environment.
Yeah. So basically, there's two ways, right, that we work with the VR. One at our academy, which is kind of a specialized version, where we film our athletes doing 6-on-5. Front court, whatever. We have a VR camera on the head of the athletes and in behind the goal. And then we go and walk through what was happening and ask them, you know, why did you do that?
Okay. Well, yeah. So this is very interesting because you're saying, okay, you have a camera on the head of each player. And then you do the, let's say, in my words, the recording of all these stuff. And after that, you do the analysis, maybe. So this is nothing so, let's say, not so much different as in the past or today with the normal recording and videos and so on and so forth. But you have all the other aspects about your environment and all the senses of each player in this game. Yeah,
that's right. So the goal is that instead of having to film a game and have a player watch the game and then you talk it through, now the player A is in their own. I mean, sometimes we just have a camera behind the player. Now the player is in the game. It's more like and then I'm already talking through the scenarios. So a player can take this video home and go over all of these scenarios 100 times on their own instead of having a coach every day. Now, we do the coaching aspect because that's something special at the academy. So I walk them through it, ask them questions. But the big goal right now are kids around the world who have purchased this. They buy it and they go through 6-on-5. Maggie and I are talking about what they should be looking at. How are they? Why are they moving? Look here, look here. And now without a coach, you know, you could be in the middle of Minnesota or middle of somewhere, no water polo, and you are getting smarter and smarter and smarter every day.
Okay. Yeah. So in this case, I have to think about a subscription for this case, maybe for myself.
Yes,
to be a little bit smarter and to have the own experience with the VR goggles then. Okay. So what about the pricing or the cost for these? So you mentioned that you have also kids and players all around the world or not only coming from the US maybe at the moment. So how is it going? So they are contact you over the website or app or whatever, and then you send what? Subscription they have to buy the goggles for themselves. And how is this working?
There's two ways we're doing it, right? One way is the most common way is you purchase from us the goggles and all the information uploaded already so that the moment it arrives at your house, it goes and you have everything. Now, those goggles you can use for all the other games and whatnot, but all those packages are purchased. This it's already in there. The second part is if you already have some of those goggles, there is a way for us to send it and download it to you. It's a little more complicated, but we have done it. And the third part, which will come out very soon, is we'll be our own store. So if you buy those goggles on your own, you just go to the store. That is where we're working towards. We're just not there yet.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So in this case, in the second scenario, you mentioned that you have to put this software or the firmware or whatever from you on the goggles from the customer. Yeah. So which is already existing in this case.
That's right. And that way, what we want to do with that is really control the user experience, right? Because what's happened is a lot of people, we send them kind of like a USB to download it, blah, 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 or tell them how to do it. And it ends up not working and they get frustrated, and that sucks because that's not our goal. But then you turn it around and you get now if it all shows up and it's all there, now they're very happy because it's very easy and they get to use it. And again, it doesn't exist. So this is real. It's really exciting for us.
Especially in the case that it's not available at the moment, you mentioned when you are your own supplier and you have your own shop and can purchase this on your own, then you are really independent. Yeah, so
that's great.
Also, and this is really great also for the customer, you mentioned. Yeah, so for the kids and players around the world, so it's very easy to buy it as a bundle. Yeah, not each piece separately.
No, 100%.
Cool. Yeah, I think this would be as you mentioned because all the young kids are really working and living with all these kind of stuff. Yeah, and when we are not really adapt our sports to this one, it's not really easy then in the future.
No, I think right now the Miami Dolphins just signed a contract to use it, and it's really interesting how football is using it, and it's kind of changed. Changed my perspective a little bit. I like the perspective of going through scenarios and talking it out, but football's also using it in a very basic model to teach athletes, hey, this is the positions of football. This is the basic movements. And I really like that. And I think we're going to start to do that as well, because I want kids as young as 8, right, 10, to be able to put them on and say, oh, this is a center position. This is a goalie. Kind of watch them, look what it's like. And then slowly as they progress, right, we always use crawl, first walk, run, sprint. They can eventually push themselves on the VR to be as knowledgeable as maybe some of the older athletes. And that'd be really exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. So in this case, you have only, they come to you or to any club, let's say, with a minimum level of water polo skills. Yeah. So you are able to teach the basics, via the VR stuff and so on. And you have then after that only working on the specifics and enhancements of these basic skills.
That's right. And something else that's interesting that the Miami Dolphins do is, every football program, just like every water polo program, they have their own style, right? So when you come play for, Stanford, there's a style and there's plays at Stanford. If you go play for UCLA, there's styles and plays. So what we're telling all these colleges as well, it'd be so valuable if the recruits, before you show up to the first day of practice, you've had a month of all of their – so now you know everything. So a coach doesn't have to waste a month teaching you, hey – we don't do that. This is play B. This is play C, whatever it is.
Yeah. So you are able to, let's say, provide the playbook in upfront. Yeah. So before the season or the practice is starting, then.
That's right.
It is really, really interesting that you mentioned the connection between football and water polo, because I think we can really benefit from the other sports which are let's say more popular, maybe not in the US but also in Germany. So we can benefit from football or soccer in this case here in Europe. So I'm pretty sure that they will use some kind of stuff also in the future.
Yeah, no, I think, and that's just been it, Andres. It's like the VR was a Stanford connection I had, and we started talking, and a lot of people, it's so hard, they don't have times. And I think from my point of view, it's always been, well, that's what I've taken my role as, is what do I do to help the sport? You know, whatever it is. We take mm-hmm. a team to Croatia, and they said, you know, you can't take women's team because there's no women's water polo in Croatia. And I said, well, let's start it. And so we're gonna start helping. And we already have some teams coming out. We're going to have coaching series. Maggie's going to do some things out there. And mark my words, and hopefully in, you know, 10 years, there's a women's program and Maggie's playing for it and you, right? And and then the fun thing really has been the big push on our game desk, right? I know a lot of companies have really tried to come into water polo and make the stats all digital, which is great. And mm-hmm. I think everyone's doing that right.
Yep.
But what's really, I feel, separated us is that connection to the individual athlete. Everyone's about the club, the tournament. We're about the athlete, right? And that's what's so exciting is I finish a game in Utah and I have, you know, 20 athletes running after the game to their phone so they could see all their stats and their plus or minus and understand where their value is. Yeah. And then after a tournament, when an athlete comes to me and says, hey, I feel like I didn't do that well. Well, we can look at their last five games and go over and say, well, look how many turnovers you had during the weekend, or look at how many ejections. These are little things that we can fix and help them be better instead of you finish. Mm-hmm. And right now you finish a game. It's just, it's dependent on who you talk to. If you're lucky enough to have Hagen, yeah. have Stom as your coach, then he's going to know what to say. If you don't have him and there's someone else, then maybe it's not going to be the right answer, right? So we're trying to.
Yeah. It's yeah. So at the moment, I would absolutely agree with you that it's more or less only a feeling or an impression from somebody, yeah, about your game and your aesthetics in this game. And when you have really the figures in front of you, it's something different.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So you already prepare for outside, yeah?
Already. I know. No, that's all right. I got it.
No problem. So maybe one last question before you have to leave to go through the practice. What do you think about the Final Eight? So I saw you're really following the games with your athletes.
Yes. You know, first off, it's amazing. And you know, I think Europeans, they have a lot more accessibility to these games. But now with the live streaming, it's unacceptable that so many Americans and Brazilians and Australians didn't watch those games, right? If you ever aspired mm-hmm. to be great, then you would watch those games. And if you didn't, then I don't yeah. want you coming to me telling me that you think you should be great. So that's first. And like for me, what I thought of the Final Four or the Final Eight, you know, I thought, look, I think Len's done a good job. It's exciting to watch that, you know, the lights and the excitement around it. The live stream was good. I thought the level didn't seem as high to me this mm-hmm. time around. And I don't know if it was COVID and players' ability. It just seemed, you know, to me, I've watched every Final Four or Final Eight. I was at the one in Italy 2 years ago. I watched the one obviously last year. The rest of the time I've been participating in them. I just felt there was something missing on the quality this year. And again, maybe the players were too tired. Maybe it's too many games for them. Maybe it's too close to Tokyo or the whole Tokyo delay kind of mm-hmm. affected. But that would be my two cents, right? I thought I'm proud of Ben Halleck. He became the first American ever to win a Final Four. At the same time, you know, I didn't think it was it's going to go down as one of the best Final Fours ever.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so I think I have quite the same impression about the whole tournament, the Final Eight tournament. But I guess I would say this is based on the situation before the tournament, before the Final Eight, all the weeks and months before regarding COVID and so on. So I think this is really the reason for maybe that it's not on the highest level this year.
And then the last thing I'll say, and then I do have to go, is you know, I'm disappointed that it's in Serbia. I just don't understand that, right? Like, I don't understand if we're trying to grow the sport, we keep these tournaments in the areas where the sport's the biggest and strongest, right? Now, if you always, every other year, you want to go back to a Serbian, Italy, a Spain, do it. But why, explain to me why the fastest growing European, it seems like one of the fastest growing European leagues that wasn't even around really when I played was France. Why is France not hosting it? That's a push right now. We should do whatever we can to get them to host, right? I know Germany was.
Yes, you
know,
yeah, it was original in Hanover, to be honest, but we are not able to host it. WASPO was not able to host it due to the medical stuff and COVID stuff and security checks, COVID checks, and so on and so on and so on. So I think this is maybe then the reason for this year, but next year I would absolutely agree with you. But this year I think Belgrade was really the safest one.
And let me ask
this
you,
reason, I guess
we're really all around all for the better of the sport. And we think that if all the countries, you know, playing is at a higher level is going to help the sport, which we all know it is. Why wouldn't there be a final eight in the US? Why wouldn't there be a final eight in Asia? And I don't want to hear like a money situation because we know the money that they get. That's their job, is to market and to get enough money to say, hey, clubs, instead of paying to go here, we're going to figure out. And I guarantee I could find a sponsor in New York that's going to host these guys, or Miami, have a wonderful tournament in the US. And then all of a sudden people know who these athletes are, because I go to my athletes who, again, are top level athletes. And I say, do you know who Prokoyev is from Russia? Do you know who you know, Valanki from Hungary is? And they have no idea. They have no idea. And that's a little bit their fault, but it's a lot more our fault because we don't give these athletes the exposure they need.
Yeah. And so the clubs anyway need the funding and the budget for the final eight. Yeah. So maybe the costs are not so much higher.
I agree.
Good. Okay. So you have to leave, I guess. So thank you very much. So we have to talk again about these VR stuff.
Okay. Yeah. Look, text me anytime or email me. I can find, like, this time always on Wednesdays is the best. It was just today I have this thing at 12:30. So see you, Andres.
Okay, no problem. So thanks for your time. Have a good day. Thank you. Bye.
So thank you for tuning in and listening to this podcast episode again. I hope you enjoyed the discussion, and I'm happy to welcome you also next week or in the next episode of the podcast. And until this next episode of the podcast, I'm happy to welcome you on Facebook, on our Facebook fan page. So I wish you all the best. So stay tuned for the next episode.
Show me things I've never seen. Gonna be hard, 'cause I've seen everything. Surprise me.